Good evening. Boy, I can't believe what this place looked like this morning and what it looks like now. How many of you were here this morning? And it's like, where did it all go? Well, it came down between about noon and 2 o'clock. Boy, some people worked hard to do that. And they really transformed our church, both to get ready for Bible school and then when we take everything down. I am so grateful for all the great work, the hard work that so many people did in Bible school. And I'm glad you're here tonight. I've been looking forward to tonight. And ever since I started getting a text from Crystal about what was going on in Zimbabwe and other places, and just excited for them. And I know it's a trip they looked forward to for a long time, and then it all happened, and now they can remember it the rest of their lives. And how exciting. Let's pray together, and then Scott and Crystal are going to share. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your help and your blessings. I thank you for a good week in Bible school. I thank you for the privilege to love children, and pray, God, that you would help us to know how to point them to Jesus. Lord, young people, children, older people, Lord, the people around us, may we live out a life that shows them who Jesus is, I pray. I pray you'd help us to know how to do whatever you call us to do, God, your kingdom, the body of Christ, and a world that needs you. God, help us to have a love and a passion for them. Thank you for Scott and Crystal and for the privilege and opportunity to hear about their trip. Pray you would bless them as they share. And again, a place far away, Zimbabwe. God, I pray you'd work in the hearts and lives of those people as well. And help us to know how to serve you better, I pray, in all we do as we think about the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I really would have liked to have said greetings or something like that in Afrikaans.
I can't.
As always, they speak English in Zimbabwe, but they also have a very strong dialect. And then they have their own language. And it was unique being there just from that standpoint. Crystal, she actually recorded the conversation. Very animated conversations. So I'll just say greetings and thank you for being here. The first thing that I want to do is basically give a little bit of a geography lesson, because if you're like me, you know that if somebody says a country, it's in Africa, but you don't know where. So I don't expect you to know. This is a map of Africa, and down towards the very bottom is the area that we went to. So I'm going to blow up the bottom a little bit. There you can see South Africa, Botswana, and Zimbabwe, where we were. Now, we flew from New York City to Johannesburg, South Africa, which is about underneath the word South in Africa. And then from there, we flew up to just below the M and the B in Zimbabwe, and that's where Bulawayo is. Bulawayo is the part of the western district of South Africa. And then more specifically, right, I don't know if that's going to work, right here is Bulawayo. And that's where we stayed and worked and did spent the majority of our time. Now, the first Jesus film trip that we showed was in the outskirts of Bulawayo. I don't know where one outskirts stops and another one pretty much they were in that Bulawayo area. The second one was down here. You can see Gwanda. We were right about in there above Gwanda. We never saw Gwanda. We didn't get quite that far, but that's the one that we call in the bush or the rural church. Pretty much what we'd say out in the middle of nowhere. And then the third Jesus film showing was just above Bulawayo. We drove 20 to 30 minutes, I believe, to get to those. And when I say we drove, I didn't drive, obviously. They're left side of the road drivers. And we were basically packed in either a small pickup truck, or they had an SUV, and I spent quite a bit of my time in the back part of the cargo area of the SUV with one of the other team members as we traveled. So most of the places I got to were backwards. And then you're going to see a couple pictures a little bit later. One of the seven wonders of the world is Victoria Falls, and that's up here in this upper left-hand corner right there below Livingston. That's Victoria Falls. So that's kind of the gist of where we were at and where we traveled back and forth. Our first trip in, we went into whatever that airport's name is. I don't even try to pronounce most of the words there. And we flew in there, and there's where the fun began, right off the bat. We got into the airport, and going through customs, immediately, we got questioned off right off the bat on what a certain item was that showed up on our X-ray. And I said, I believe what you're looking at is pencils. What are the pencils for? You know, and how much are they? What they were trying to do was to get me to pay a tariff or a fee to bring those pencils into their country. Now, we each had two bags of luggage that we could carry for free. And we pretty much had one each personal area and then one with just all kinds of mission-related items that we were going to be giving at, hats and Africa dresses and pencils and crayons and just you name it. And, you know, there was just a wide variety. Well, they were questioning these pencils and how much they were worth. And what they were trying to do was get me to pay for them, to bring them in. And I said, we're bringing them in to give to the children. And finally, I got a very strong lecture on not informing them that we were going to be bringing them, and they left me go. However, the Jesus film packs, we had two Jesus film packs that had a value of $4,000 each, and our church actually sponsored, if you remember a couple months ago, we took a collection up, and there was $2,240 and some odd change that came in for purchasing the replacement parts for the Jesus film pack that they already had. So we had about $10,000 worth of product, and we were told that they're charging tariffs of up to 60%, which, quick math, is $6,000. So we were really concerned about getting that through. Well, they pulled off the Jesus film packs, and they were questioned. When you get through customs, you get out of there. You don't stop and you don't wait for, you just get through because you don't want them to call you back. But they actually had all of them there. So we were kind of, at that point, we didn't know that one of them, they weren't questioning the one. They were really only questioning the other. But we were probably waiting half an hour, 45 minutes, and they came out and the district superintendent was there and they left him go back in and we waited and we waited and finally, they came out, and one of the team members, we'll show a picture of him later, was just frustrated. Well, we were all kind of frustrated, but some of you got texts and requests for prayer through that. But they ended up charging us $250 tariff to bring that through. So one of the things that is going on in Zimbabwe is they have a very corrupt government. And what they were trying to do was get us to bribe them, to offer money. And they actually did negotiate a little bit. They wanted a little bit more money, and Don was able to negotiate them down to the $250. But that was paid cash out of money that we did not expect to pay. And Don was quite upset over the whole issue because we only brought a certain amount of cash along, and we weren't anticipating that payment. So right off the bat, we were starting off on kind of a bad taste in our mouth, a bad foot. And the longer we were there, the more we realized the amount of corruption that took place. For instance, our first Sunday to church, we got pulled over for speeding. Supposedly we were speeding, the taxi driver. And the district superintendent's wife, Seifu, said, give the taxi driver $5. So I gave him $5. He jumped out of the car, went back to the cop who was writing the ticket. He comes back, jumps in, and away we go. $5 bribe, fix the ticket. So to us here in America, it's like you would never even dream about bribing. Over there, they stop you and hassle you, expecting that you'll just get sick and tired of it and offer them a bribe. So that's the kind of corruption that goes on. And part of they actually use American currency as their currency. And you can see how dirty and worn their money was there. That's an example of the currency that's there because they can't print, they can't get new like we do here. But basically their monetary system, they had thousands, and actually they had millions and billion-dollar notes, and it was absolutely worthless. The money was not worth more than the paper that it was written on, and the corruption that exists over there is just part of that process. So, these are our hosts. That's Andrew and Seifu Nayoni. He's a district superintendent of the Western District, and she's also a pastor of that district. This is our team. It's Crystal and myself, and then right in front of me is Seifu. The next lady in red is, we called her Lucy. Her name is Lushane. Everybody just called her Lucy. And all the way to the far side in the white is Don, their husband and wife, Don Buell. They're from Iowa. And behind Lucy is Jessica, and they're from Iowa. We did not meet them until we got into New York. And other than talking on the phone and emailing, the process, or through the process, this was the first that we met was in New York. So it's kind of neat. And again, we've had this happen over and over again. You talk, you never meet somebody, but as soon as you meet them, they're brothers and sisters in Christ, and they're like part of the family. And we just got a couple of pictures going throughout here of our group. The funny thing was, in that first picture, we were at the airport, and here we're at the falls, and we finally got another picture with nobody in us. It seemed like if we took a picture, somebody wanted to be in it. So there was one of the flight, the people from the airport, and as you go through, you're going to see a couple different pictures where there's somebody you don't know, and they just kind of show up in the picture because they want their picture taken as well. That's in the backyard. That's Seifu in her African garb, and Crystal and I. Crystal wanted to get some Africa clothing as well.
So I had to take the plunge and get an African dress so that I'm ready for talking to the kids. They wear this scarf piece a couple different ways. There I had it on my head for demonstration, and they do wear it around their waist as well, which is what I did in the picture back. And then, you know, some Indian culture there as well, and so sometimes they'll just put it over their shoulder.
This is just a picture of the girls at, I think that was at Victoria Falls. And there was our taxi driver, had to be in the picture. But he was a good guy. Okay, our first Sunday, we went to church, and this is their church. And Ken Weenie, something like that, is the name of the church. And as you can see, it's just a frame with some tin is where they're meeting. And they're actually trying to raise enough funds to build a church. But we went to Sunday school and worship service. I'll let Crystal share a little bit about with the children.
So because they're just in kind of a lean-to, the kids, the no Sunday school rooms, the kids basically met in the back of the worship area, and the adults met in the front. And so we were trying to do everything on benches in the back. Pastor, we didn't let you down. We took stickers along and gave stickers pretty much everywhere we went. So you'll see different pictures with stickers. They did make crosses. That was the craft that we ended up doing. I did take some puppets. I am not a puppeteer, but I took puppets and, you know, was telling, stories, with the puppet. And they definitely seem to perk up and pay attention when you do that, even though I'm certainly not very good.
One thing you'll notice is the girls wear their hair very short. I had a terrible time telling if it was a boy or a girl.
And then the kids, again, because there wasn't really a spot, they laid a mat down on the floor, and all the kids sat on the mat, the younger ones, and that's where they kept them under control.
You'll also notice they're wearing winter coats. It's their fall. To us, it was beautiful weather. To them, they were cold. It was probably in the low 70s, but it was very windy.
Yeah, and you'll see I even have a jacket on. I mean, just a light jacket, but it is cool. I thought it was interesting. This is their habit in their culture. When they bring the offering back, they hold the baskets up and in worship to God as they're praying for the offering. This is the pastor that spoke at the church, and there was actually a different I think it was like a pastor in training that was speaking when we first arrived, and then this is the senior pastor.
And this is actually Seifu's brother as well.
That's true. I thought this was cute. You'll see throughout the pictures, they use a towel as a way of carrying their children. So they put the towel around and it's under their behind and really tight. And then they'll make it really tight at the top, and that kind of becomes their carrier. So you'll see that off and on in the pictures. There's another picture of kind of what it looks like. This is the sound crew, by the way. I had to take a picture of the sound crew. And the sound crew left me all by myself tonight. So they're not here to enjoy it. Another thing that they culturally did, both services, when we arrived at, you know, wherever we were going, they would come and take your bags, you know, and at first, in our culture, it's like, you know, don't touch my bag. But for them, this was a sign of being a hostess or a host to come and get your bag and carry that for you wherever it was that you were sitting. So you had to get used to that pretty quick. And then this is after the service. The kids are running around with their craft and just having fun out outside the church.
The church just kind of sits in an open field. Okay, that was Sunday morning. And then Sunday afternoon, we broke out the Jesus film and kind of got everything set up and went through all the parts and pieces and learned how to put everything together. And then went to the site, which was, like I said, on the outskirts of town. Again, it was very windy. And Crystal said, you mentioned what a big hassle it was, you know, with putting the screen up. The screen, basically has string through the frame, and it's kind of like a tent frame that just kind of clicks together, and then you wrap it around. That puts tension. You'll see some pictures a little bit later, but then you clip the screen. But then you have to figure out how to hang it, how to put it up. And we showed the film three times, and we put the film up, or the screen up, three different ways. But as we were working on that, they had some people there, singing. This was kind of almost like in a side street or an alley, two or three blocks from the church. It was used as an outreach ministry of the church. So there was a lot of comings and going. It was kind of a public fairway, that people would go through.
And they're singing there, and boy, do they sing. You've probably heard that more times than you can count. They really worship the Lord.
There's people were gathering. At the bottom right-hand corner, you can see the projector set, the tripod, and all of the electronics are right there ready to be set up. And they would have, on that one little chip, they would have multiple copies of the Jesus film in different languages.
And you don't see it so much later. One thing about taking pictures when you're on a Jesus film trip, when do you show the film? Nighttime. Can't really take good pictures at nighttime. But notice in the back behind them, there's houses there. And so one of the things we noticed is people came, but people also would look out their window in the houses or sit out on their porch in the houses and watch as well. And this is the setup of the Jesus film. That's how small the setup is. The little projector is just that little box thing on the top. That's how teeny tiny it is.
Right alongside of his head, you see a little white, you can see that little white strip.
Mm-hmm. And what was cool about it, everything you might need for showing the film in the middle of nowhere was part of this kit. There was a light. That's what he has a hold of there. It's like a spotlight, and you could hang it, you could point it, you could do whatever you needed to see. They also have speaker wires going out both sides, and the speakers get put up on a car, hanging in a tree, hang it off a door, hang it off a building. I mean, pretty much you have the pieces, and you figure out where to put it to make it all work.
Improvise, adapt. Here's this place, we actually hung it from tree limbs, threw the ropes up over the tree, and strapped it fast. They have a strapping system that you can adjust and tighten. And then we were able to find some, what did we tie it to? I think a fence or something that was behind it, because that night was very windy, as I mentioned, and we had a hard time keeping the screen stable.
One of the things too, and it did happen at a couple of the other showings, that these screens you can see from either side. So the people can be on the one side or the other side and still see the film both ways.
Just working through the clips and trying to get the strings all tightened up and such a manner.
And even though it looks bright, we do have flashlights, and we're doing everything we're doing pretty much by flashlight.
$5 hammer that he had in his right hand that I picked up at the flea market came in very handy. It was worth 20. Didn't tell the guy that. But.
And we did hand out Jesus film hats at each of the showings. So you can see some of the kids that were sitting there that had their Jesus film hats on. For all those who did a lot of crochet work, wow, we had a lot of hats.
I think we took about 200 hats. There's a God's timing is so providential in so many ways. And this one picture has a long story to it. Saturday night when we got there, Andrew took his shoe off, his shoe and sock off. I said foot a while ago, but he had stepped on a nail. I don't know when, but it was earlier
that
week.
It was a few days before we got there.
But he had stepped on a nail, and he said, you know, his foot was sore. And he limped a little bit. It was kind of ouchy. But when we were showing the Jesus film, one thing that we didn't mention, they can't handle the cold at all. They're just not, they don't do well with cold weather. And with it being windy, the crowd started to diminish. And in fact, it got so low that we stopped the film before it was even over. But Andrew, district superintendent, he just was very quiet. It was kind of, I don't know, just off
not
his game.
Himself.
He wasn't himself. And he went and he got in the car and he said he was so cold. So I told Crystal, I said, go check to see if he had a temperature. And I think he did, you know, he had a bit of a temperature. And we got home and he took his shoe off and his sock off. And when I saw his foot, I immediately went for Crystal and said, you got to look at this, because I saw the difference between, you know, Saturday night and Sunday night. So, and he absolutely, we said, you got to go to the hospital. And he absolutely refused to go to the hospital. So we knew something had to be done, because we really felt he was in danger of losing his foot. So I told Crystal, go in, told him, I said, Andrew, I said, I will think no less of you if you cry, but I'm going to bed. And then it was up to them.
So when we looked at it, I mean, he definitely had an abscess going already. So his wife offered, I said, "It's we got to get that stuff out of there. That's what's got to happen." And he just absolutely refused, because he said, if you go to the hospital, you might go in with a foot, but you'll come out without a foot. That's kind of how he felt. So she volunteered to go ahead and do the work. So she took care of kind of leaving some of that pressure go. And then, of course, as usual, for anybody who goes on mission trips with me, I had my first aid stuff along and made a real warm bath for his foot with the betadine in it. And between that, and we left it in a good long time, between that and prayer and bandages, you know, to kind of catch what we knew would be coming the next day, why we just kept treating it every day. And till even the next day, just relieving the pressure, significant difference. And he was complaining of pain up into his leg already. So, it, you know, anybody who's medical, this isn't good situation. So he even has mentioned it in the emails since then. He really feels that God brought us there at just the right time to intervene, because, you know, of how they find the hospital medical situation to be. So that's a word of praise that he certainly has in his heart.
This is Pastor Brighton. This is where we did some of our work. Of course, you show the Jesus film at night, so that left the quote-unquote free time for us during the daytime. So what we would do is we would take up projects and we would go and do some work here and there. And this church is an area that they were doing some renovations. So there was some outside work, some inside work. And, one of the things we got there, it was kind of, wasn't in shambles outside. It just needed some attention. So there's a big, stack of bricks that were sitting in front of the church. We carried all them away. And, there was some gravel that they wanted to have spread out throughout on the walkway, so they wouldn't be walking in dirt. Of course, you have your little critters when you're working in that, and there's a nice little spider. It's a teeny little fright. But they put the bricks away and just cleaned up some brush and so on. And they're very easy to please. What we would do over here wouldn't pass inspections, I guess you would say. But they don't have the perfected standards that Americans have. So they were just happy to have things put away, and we spread some stones and put some more brick up to finish out the areas and worked at that. And then they had some paint that they thought they would be able to use. It was left over from last year. But when we opened it up, I guess it's spoiled or something, but it did not smell good. So there was no way they were going to paint the inside with that. So they used it to paint the brick. So nothing goes to waste, and they just kind of fancied up the brick. And again, you know, if you look at the pictures, they're not pristine. They're not nice, sharp paint lines, but they were just happy. Don, he was kind of a jack of all trades, and he was doing a lot of just handiwork here and there at different places. The ladies, they painted outside, then Don and I went inside and painted the lower portion, I think 2 years ago when they were there. But then there was an area that was up higher, and that molding around the outside, behind that, it was just dirt. And every time you touched it, dirt would come down. So we were trying to get some of the dirt knocked out of it as we moved along, so that if we'd have painted and we'd have touched it, and it happened a couple times, the dirt would just keep on falling.
So Don was up there sweeping, and there was a little shelf sitting up in the corner. And he, as he was cleaning, he came across a Gideon Bible. For those of you who know, Don was actually a Gideon as well, as was Scott. And we did pass some Gideon Bibles. It wasn't our main focus, but we did pass some out, especially after the Jesus film, for those who accepted Christ. This was one that was found just up there laying. And as you can see, Elias, whoever this Elias is, says he accepted the Lord in 2003. So that was really cool for those of us who were there to share the gospel, that we saw here's the fruits of some labors that happened long, long ago.
And it was just up on a homemade ladder trying to get the paint on. Unfortunately, we didn't get an exact match of paint. So when we started painting, it would go on and it'd be a real nice yellow, and then it would dry and it would get almost white. So we basically ended up painting the whole room over so everything would match. But we smeared a lot of paint around, and of course then we had a lot of cleaning up to do. But again, they didn't care that everything didn't look just perfect. All they cared about was having a nice place to worship. Kind of spoke a little bit to me about, you know, we like to see things all nice and pretty, but you know, their emphasis was more on worshiping. And then Don, again, there were some areas of the plaster had come down, and he was fixing holes, and there was an area out front they kind of messed up when they put their gutter up, and whenever it would rain real hard, the water would come in. So I tried to scrape that off and just get some more paint on that. That's Jessica. She actually worked at that point. She changed job at that point. She actually worked for Jesus Film Ministries.
What she's doing here is painting a doorway, which was kind of funny to us, because the one gal, this is her apartment, and it's right off of this room that they're kind of using for church services. And she wanted her doors painted to match, you know, the rest of the room. So we painted her doors for her. This is her, and she was so tickled with the job that she had done painting around the doorway, so she wanted her picture taken. This is the finished product. May not look pretty, as Scott said, but they were pleased. And this is where they're going to be holding services now that it's fixed up.
You can see there a little bit how the paint, we did some touch-ups. So you can see the dark spots. That actually lightened after it dried up. But, you know, we were kind of really trying to figure out how to make everything match up and look nice. Wasn't easy.
And there was a blackboard in this area where the church was, and they had written on there, experiencing the power of God in our lives, Philippians 3:10. So we just thought it would be cool, since they would be having services there now, since the work was done. We put down all of our names. We signed our names, you know, for them whenever they came to service, that they would see. This is the outside of the building. And I would kind of compare it to Philadelphia District. It kind of just reminds me of their Philadelphia church. So one of the things that Andrew had talked to us about was being ready pretty much for anything, and that's hard to plan for. So, you know, we strategized what would we have with us in order to minister. And so one of the things that we took, as we always take, is the little kits. We call them salvation bracelets. But I knew this time we were going to be showing the film, and it would be at nighttime. So I got this brainstorm that I was going to get glow-in-the-dark beads. And that way we could, you know, shine the flashlight on them, make them perk up, and that when we handed out bracelets, that they would be able to, you know, enjoy the glow-in-the-dark aspect of it. And it actually did go over well. I would tell you we'll do that again if we do a Jesus film, because it did go over very well. The problem was they told us to be prepared for VBS, Sunday school, and, of course, the Jesus film ministry. We never did do any VBS of any sort. So we sat every minute through the day that we had, that we weren't doing some other work, putting all these bracelets together. So we did the VBS in order to be able to hand out the bracelets when we would go show the film at night. So this is our craft time where we're putting bracelets together.
So Mom and Dad, thank you for making all those packets. We dumped all the packets out and put them together. Okay, Tuesday. Tuesday late afternoon, we headed south. You remember earlier I showed you where Gwanda was. We went to they called it an Swazi. I really didn't see anything of a town or anything, if it's just a spot or whatever, but we were just driving down the road for about an hour or an hour and a half, and all of a sudden we came to a lane, a dirt lane, turned left, there was a church, and then we started driving back through. Not field. They weren't fields. It wasn't trees. It was just brushy, you know, grown up scrubs. And he'd take a left and he'd take a right, and he's winding back through there like he knew where he was going. And all of a sudden we came to where he wanted to go. It surprised me. So we got out, and there was a small church there. There was another building in the background. Of course, now this isn't a wide open, I guess I don't want to call it a parking lot, but it's a wide open area, with a church. And of course, where are we going to set it up? What's the best way? You know, as soon as you get there, you look and you start assessing of the best way to set things up. So this gentleman was kind of the pastor wasn't there. He actually missed his ride with us. We were almost there when they finally made communications together for we were supposed to pick him up and bring him along, but we didn't find out until we were already halfway there. So this is just another local gentleman that came and showed us around and playing with a drum there. I think they got that out of the church building. There's the inside of the church where we showed the film. Just some benches. We took those benches out and made a couple repairs on them so that we could see they would have some place to sit. And we kind of looked, and I thought, right there is a corner of the building, and right there is a tree. That's where we're hanging the projector. So we started tearing. That's the bag where everything fits. Everything that we need fits in that bag. They're right to this between me and Jessica is the rolled up, that's the screen with the hooks, and we'd unrolled that, got the stakes out. There's the framing all clipped on, getting all ready. They're setting up the projector and the sound system. I think we may have some pictures where they hung that. And then in this case, as I said, we hung it between the building and a tree. And in this case, people could sit on both sides because you could see this, you'd see right through the screen, so you could see it easily, both sides.
One of the things they would do too, in the first showing, they had people that actually came and almost had like a worship service. They sang, loud. I mean, they had good sound systems. In the middle of the bush like this, there was no people that came along to have some sort of a service. But what they would do by doing that singing prior to the showing was to get people's attention in the outlying area and get them to come and find out what this was that was, you know, making all the sound. So for any of you who went along with me before, I had my little tablet with the Vacation Bible School music and lots of it. And we would play that. In with my little speaker, the loud speaker, and that's what we ended up using for our music to try to draw attention and get the kids to come in.
And you didn't see anybody, but they came from back in the brush somewhere. But it started getting dark, and nobody was there. And Andrew said, "Don't worry, because they'll show up. There's the pretty much ready to go." Part of the problem, I don't like the word problem. The issue here was this was a Tuesday night. The kids were in school. The nearest school is they talk kilometers, and I can't remember. If I understood it right, they walk 8 to 10 miles to go to school, to the nearest school. So till they got out of school and got home, it was almost dark. And then the first thing that they would have to do is go and eat their evening meal before the fires went out, and so that they would be able to come to the Jesus film. So this one started, it was actually quite late until this one started. It was pretty much pitch black till the people started showing up. First, again, we were kind of discouraged. Is anybody going to show up? But it ended up, we had 100, 125 people, I'd say. I read that.
So this picture of Safu, I had not ever seen the scarves before, but she actually had a scarf that was crocheted with the Jesus film colors, the wordless book colors. And she used that in order to tell the kids the story that goes with the wordless book. So she had her scarf, got out, and she met with the kids in little clusters and was very serious about telling them the full salvation story and made them repeat it back to her to be sure that they understood. She was very diligent at sharing the story with them. So these are all the clusters where they're meeting. Now, they don't have their hats yet. They don't have their bracelets. She didn't want to give them anything because she said what will happen is you'll give it, and then they'll go, and then they'll come back and get another one and go and come back and get another one. So instead, she made them listen and get the information and then had them all line up in a line to get their treats. So she got done sharing all of that. We did give out the bracelets, and you can see that. And then she dug out the soccer ball. I don't know how many of you know, but Jesus Film has multiple different tools that they use with these colors, and one of them is the soccer balls with the wordless book. And so that soccer ball, they give one to an area, and then that soccer ball, they'll dig it out and let the kids play with it, you know, periodically whenever they want to play. So she's using that to tell the story as well. So then they all lined up and got their hats. And it was not just children. This was a lower income area, very poor, and not just the kids wanted hats. They all wanted hats. So thank goodness we had lots of hats. So one of the things, as I'm going through a couple of these slides, I wanted to share. This was our first time showing the Jesus film. I didn't know what to expect. I had ideas of what I thought it might be like, but you really don't know till you go. And so out of all of the Jesus film showings, this one in particular is what I had pictured in my mind. And so it holds a special place in my heart for that reason. And I fondly refer to a picture that's coming up as the Sea of Hats, because it just reminds me of what I had pictured. So this is the bracelets, and they're holding up their little cards that actually tell the story of each of the colors and what they mean. So they're all excited with their treats.
While Seifu and Crystal were working with the little children, there were a couple teenage boys that showed up. So one of the things that we brought along, because again, we knew it was going to be dark, we got a couple glow in the dark. They weren't Frisbees. They were like, they were acted right like a Frisbee, but they were just a ring that you could throw back and forth. So I go and I put my light on them and I get them glowing. And we actually went back in that big parking lot area and we were throwing Frisbee around, just playing around to kind of keep them interested. The other thing, if you notice the white dots that are on our photos, you don't realize how dusty it is, but all the pieces of dust in the air kind of showed up those white dots. So it was kind of unique there. We didn't realize that until we got home and looked at the pictures. But, you know, it just was dust everywhere. But we ended up having quite a bunch of teens that were there as well. And we just, again, had a good time. I think we had three or four of the rings out to throw them back and forth. And, of course, then we left them there for them to play with later.
And this is my sea of hats. This is one of my favorite pictures. And again, you see the little kiddos on the back sometimes. There's a pair.
here at the end of the showing, this is kind of one of my favorite parts. I didn't really realize when we got there, we left in the afternoon, and they said they'd have chicken for us. So we thought, okay, you know, we'll go there and, you know, we'll get things set up, and then they'll bring our chicken, and we'll have supper. There's our chicken. So it was unique, but, you know, they had its legs tied together in a bag, and we threw it in the back of the car, and the chicken made the trip back to Bulawayo with us, which was neat because they actually, Andrea and Seifu had chickens earlier, but the dogs would kill all the chickens. The only chicken that made it was a big old rooster, and I think you should have saw the spurs on that thing. I think I know why no dog wanted to tackle him. In fact, the one day I heard a puppy yelping, and evidently he made the rooster mad. So now they had a hen to go with the rooster, so now they can have more chickens or eggs or whatever. So Andrew had to get a couple people to come and work on the chicken pen because the rooster free range, but they were afraid the hen wouldn't make it. So, now the rooster and the hen, they got married. At the mission house, and again, for those of you that got texts, you probably got the sense of the frustration, but one of the things that Don wanted to do, there's a galvanized water line that came from city water into the mission house, and this water line had leaks in it. So we decided we were going to get some plastic pipe and replace the metal pipe with plastic pipe. So Tuesday or Wednesday, I forget which day it was, they went back to finish up some painting at the church, and Crystal and I were going to stay back, and we were going to dig a trench for the water line. And they said, well, don't freeze here. It only has to be about 6 inches underground. Okay, that won't be too bad. Then I woke up and looked at it. It wasn't through the ground. It was through rock. So 6 inches of rock is a big difference between 6 inches of ground. But we ended up, had just a little bit of help on that stretch there. A guy came along and he just run the pick through about 40 feet of it. But other than that, Crystal and I worked and got a trench dug. Then we laid the pipeline in, and right there you can see where it came out of the city from the meter and went down into a galvanized pipe. Every time we needed a connection, we had to go to the hardware store and try to explain what we needed from the hardware store. And eventually, you know, the one time they would just say, you go back and you get it. You come back in the back, a pipe wrench. They didn't know what a pipe wrench was. They had one, but they didn't know what it was called. So everything, my little motto from Zimbabwe is, nothing is easy, but everything is difficult. Because it just seemed like everything that you had to do there, you were fighting corruption. So you had the government against you. They're in the middle of a drought, so there's going to be people probably starving in Zimbabwe this year because this is their fourth or fifth year of drought. Crops are failing. Just going to the store and doing the things that we think about and take for granted, it's just not that easy there. So we would go and we would get the connections, and we were told that the water line fed the house right through that. There's a sewer pipe comes out, and there's a little white pipe. They said, that's where the water goes into the house. Okay, this is simple. We cut that off, hooked it up, turned it on, said, okay, let's go turn the water on inside and drain the lines, and we went in, and there was no water. And we couldn't figure this out, and then all of a sudden the light came on, and I realized we had water in our bathroom downstairs, but that wasn't the water line that came into the house. That was only the water line that went into the bathroom. So then we figured out that we had to put a T in, and here's where the water went into the house, came out there up right below that yellow bucket, up across and in through that faucet. So we disconnected in there, turned the water on, and they got water, but water started shooting out of another place. So, okay, that didn't work, so we had to go back and hook something else up, and it was just on and on and on and on, trying to chase that down. Finally, we came to the realization that it was fed from two different spots. We realized the water had two places where it went into the house. And after 3 or 4 days of fighting it, we discovered that the water line went into the house somewhere between where I'm sitting in the orange shirt and where Don's sitting in the gray shirt, which is about 18 inches of concrete. That's where the water line went into the house, under the concrete and through block concrete walls. So we were in trouble. And, like I say, it was not fun. At the end of the line, we did get water back to the house. We didn't accomplish everything we wanted to, but I was very frustrated. One of the things that I do want to ask, I don't know if anybody is here that knows. We did some first aid kits that went to Honduras. And one of the items that was supposed to be in the first aid kits was glue. And what we were actually looking for was super glue. But in one of the first aid kits was a stick of JB Weld. Did anybody here buy a stick of JB Weld and put into one of the first aid kits? Who is that? Timothy. There's a story behind that.
You were an answer to prayer, Timothy.
Well, Jim was going through there and it was like, JB Weld. Well, that doesn't go into the first aid kit, but we'll send it along to Honduras. So, when I got back, I told Snook the story. We used that JB Weld there. We used almost the whole stick because we were joining stuff together that didn't have the right fits, and it was just back and forth and back and forth. But Jen thought, well, maybe Snook can use it to Honduras. So she gave it to Snook to take to Honduras. That and some itch cream? Anti-itch cream. So Snook took it to Honduras. And lo and behold, he needed the anti-itch cream. And he thought, well, I'll let the JB Weld with Bob, because JB Weld is one of those things that you can always use JB Weld somewhere. So he gets home and realizes, I forgot to put it in Bob's toolbox. So he threw it back into the mission room. So a couple days before we left, I'm up in the mission room and I'm going through and I'm getting some pencils and some of this and some of that. There's a stick of JB Weld. I don't know what I need that for, but who knows? I'm taking it along. Well, that JB Weld stick got used all but just a little bitty piece that was left over, and it was a lifesaver. So, Tim, your JB Weld went to Honduras, came back, which is what we figure, probably 3,000-4,000 miles, and then it went about 8,000 or 9,000 miles to get to Zimbabwe. So it had a long trip to get to it. Finally got to where it was, but we decided we wanted to know who put the JB Weld in there, because it was just one of those very unique things. You don't think about it until after it's all over and done with, of how God has a way of getting the right things, the right people, the right everything at the right place. But at this point right here, Don and I are sitting, our heads are hanging low, because we were just absolutely frustrated. But as I said, so it all ended up, we got water back into the house. It wasn't exactly what we want. We got an email back from Andrew a little bit later that the leak stopped. I think they just finally plugged up with dirt or something. But the leaking stopped, and they still had water. But the other thing I want you to notice on my right arm, I'm wearing a Jesus film, or one of the salvation bracelets. So just remember that for a picture or two that's coming up. That's right. We moved it. When we went souvenir shopping, we were talking, we go down through and Crystal found something here she liked from this artist, and we got sharing with him, and I went through the Jesus film, gave him the bracelet and got talking with him, and his name's Michael, and we just had it's you're constantly just, how do you share the gospel? How do you share the gospel? And so there's Michael with his bracelet that we shared with him.
What was cool too, and I'm going to have to remember this for other trips, as soon as I would be wearing a Jesus film bracelet all the time, soon as it ended up getting given away because you saw somebody, next time we were back at the house, I'd put another one on. And before you know it, that one was gone, and then put another one on. It was just kind of repetitive. You kept giving them out because you didn't have any. Oh, yeah, I got one on my arm.
There's Seifu using the water.
Yep, we got the water back. She's doing dishes.
Okay, Levev, third Jesus film showing. Again, every situation was unique. This was about 30 minutes above Bulawayo. Levev had a Nazarene church that was 1 week old. We were there. Just basically, it was a baby church. If memory serves me, there were 6 or 7 people at their first service. So that's where we went to show the Jesus film. And We showed it on. We were going to show it on a Thursday or Friday. I forget what it ended up. So it got rescheduled, and we showed up on a Saturday night. And when we got there, it was Saturday night. It was party night. And when we got there, there was so much where we were going to show it. There was a dance hall or something. There was music blaring. And we were kind of concerned how we're going to compete with all the noise. And it just seemed that we weren't supposed to show it there, and God was directing us elsewhere. But we found a place that we were going to show it alongside of a small market in an alleyway. And we thought, okay, you know, we set it up. Third way of setting it up, we actually, this time we had some posts and duct taped the posts together, stuck them in the ground, and kind of put the film on posts. When you see the pictures of the film being shown here, you're only going to see a handful of people in the films or in the pictures watching the film. Crystal shared how this film was so chaotic that she just was so frustrated over people not staying, just all the commotion. People would come into the store and they'd just be talking and so on and so forth. And she was really frustrated. But as I said, it was right on a street, in an alley, right off of a pretty main street, alongside a market. But what was happening was people would come out of the store and they'd hear the Jesus film, and they'd come around and they'd look and they'd see it and they'd come and what's this? And I would just go up and I'd just start talking with them. And then I'd say, you know, this is from the Nazarene Church. They have a new church down here. Let me go get the pastor and introduce you to the pastor. And I would go and I'd bring them over and I'd introduce them, and then I'd go find someone else. So we were just kind of like constantly making new contacts, new contacts, new contacts. People would stand and they'd watch for maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then they would be gone. Some would stay longer, but it was just very, it just seemed very chaotic. So I'll let Crystal share a little bit more from that.
So I would love to hear some of my team members' stories, because I was knee-deep into two of my own. The first one was a fella that had walked up to us, and he was holding one child and had another one that was walking with him. His name's Benedict, and he proceeded to start telling me about a dream that he had. And I intended to listen to the recording again. I actually started this little trick where even though you couldn't video anything in the middle of the dark, I would start my recorder on my phone or my camera and tape people talking sometimes, even though I couldn't really take a video of something. So I actually did record Benedict's dream, because I had him tell it a second time when somebody walked up. But the essence of his dream, and I had heard about this when Scott and I've gone to, they call them harvest dinners, where they raise funds for Jesus film. And you would hear stories, you know, all the stories about different trips and how God worked. And I heard this story before at those dinners, and I remembered it right away. But Benedict told me one very similar. He had a dream, and he didn't really use the word man, but a bright figure came to him in his dream and called and said, "Come out, come out." Now, come out from what? I don't know, but come out, and go to a certain place, whatever that place might be, is the essence of the dream, and they will help you. And Benedict had this dream. He used those same words, come out, and whoever told him to come to this spot and that we would be there to help him. Now, remember, he was sharing earlier that we were going to be set up at a different place, and we ended up moving to this side street beside this store. So, you know, wow. We were at the right place to find and meet up with Benedict. And he also mentioned something about a bright city. He saw this bright city in his dream. But he was adamant that he came here for help. And we got talking. He definitely, I'm not going to share everything just in the interest of time, but he said that he believed, but he was very adamant that he wanted to come back the next day to church, because this was Saturday. He wanted to come to church Sunday, and he was going to bring his wife. His wife could not come with him. She was doing work of some sort, but that they would come the next day, and he wanted to wait and accept the Lord the next day. And I'm like, but Benedict, you know, why are you waiting until tomorrow? You know, you can accept the Lord today. No, no, no. He was adamant. He wanted to wait till the next day. So we did pray with him, and like I said, he definitely led me to believe that he believed. We knew God drew him there, and I told him, I said, Benedict, you've accepted the Lord already. You know, you don't have to have a formal prayer. You've accepted the Lord because you were drawn here, and you're saying that you believe that Christ died for your sins. So I've been trying to get information about Benedict. Did he come that following Sunday and what's going on with him? And I haven't gotten any word on that to date. But the second one that I helped out with was a lady, and her name is Trazia. And Trazia had come over to talk to us, and I didn't know when I first started talking to her the story behind how she came over, and was told later that she was sitting on one of the porches outside her house, not too far from where the Jesus film was being shown. One of the children that was at the Jesus film had gone to get her because they felt that she needed the help that we had to provide. And so they went to get her. She came to pray for healing. She was having all kinds of physical problems to the point where her husband, they were almost ready to get divorced, and she couldn't do a lot, and so he was frustrated with that. That was the major reason why they weren't getting along well. And she had already, because she was so depressed and so frustrated with her situation, she had already resorted to go back to drinking. That didn't work, so she had proceeded on to start taking drugs, and she was now taking drugs. And yet she knew that she was heading downhill fast. A few days before we had gotten there, she said that she had contemplated taking her life. And here she was asking for God's healing. And so I talked to her, and this again, I heard, in the harvest dinners, and that's what made me think of it, you know, and it's interesting how God brings things to your mind, because, you know, I just felt so weak and helpless for this job that we were there doing. But I remembered, a film being shown, and a lady came for healing, and they said, the God that you saw in that film still heals. He still heals. What you saw there still happens. And that's exactly what I told her. I said, that God that you see in that film, he still heals. I said, do you believe? If you believe, and I said, it doesn't take a lot of faith. I talked to her about the woman who came and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and how it only took a little bit of faith for her to be healed. And she, we prayed, the pastor came and talked to her. And then after we got done praying, he did tell me that he would be following up with her, after the Sunday service sometime the following week. And that was really all I knew about her, till we left.
Okay. The second Sunday church service was actually the service that was in town and, in Bulawayo's First Nazarene, a little bit nicer church, relatively well attended. Again, we went to the men went to their Sunday school class, and the ladies went and did some work with the kids.
So this is actually Safu's Sunday school class. So the kids had gotten together, and we did a craft with them. It was a pin that says, I'm a Christian, and there's the finished product. One of the things we did with them as a story, I don't know how many of you know about the Evangie Cubes, but the Evangie Cubes are also a tool that they put with the Jesus film. And I had never used it before. Lushane had. So she did the Jesus Cube. I read off the paper and basically read through the salvation story. And after we were done, all the kids in the class prayed to receive Christ as their Savior. Now, whether some of them had before, you know, don't know, but they definitely all prayed to accept Christ as their Savior. And there was somewhere between 15 and 20 of the kids. As I was leaving Sunday school, I took a picture. I couldn't help it. was going by a crib that was in kind of an open area, and there in the crib was one of the Jesus film balls. Pretty tattered, but it's well used, and there it is still available for playing. Again, they do the same thing at this church with their offering, you know, holding it before the Lord and praying and thanking Him. And Scott did share on the Sunday after we came back, I guess it was a Sunday or so after we came back, because he had shared at the church about the Nazarene church and the emphasis on holiness and missions. And so this is him sharing. So what's the results of our work? I say keep praying for fruit from our labors. One of the things that we talked to Don and LaShane about was some things we saw as we were showing the Jesus film that it did, they didn't have, I guess in my mind, like an altar call, like I would think of it. And so I was just asking questions, you know, well, how do they get the responses, from these films? And not that they don't in some places, but in Africa, what they were saying is that they find that they do better by, waiting until the Sunday after they show the film. And then they know how many of the people that came because of the film, and they have them, come forward and accept the Lord then. And I was like, okay, you know, it's just their way of doing things. And it kind of goes along with some of the things we heard, like Benedict saying, I'm going to, you know, accept the Lord when I come to church tomorrow. But do keep praying, because Don and LaShane said they were sharing a little bit with us from their trip, their prior trip, and the different churches that rose up because of the Jesus film showings that were done then. But I do want to share a little bit with you about our report that we've already been getting since we came home. So the first Jesus film showing in Magogwe, or I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, at the end of May, is when we received the email. There were 15 new attendees. That's kind of what they call it, new attendees. So new people that would have come because of the film. The second Jesus film showing, remember that was in the bush, they had 21 new converts, and there they did specify that it was new converts. And if you remember the picture of the church, remember it's that little dinky church in the middle of nowhere. I'm thinking 21 people on top of whatever they had. Wow. I don't know where they're putting them all. What? Yeah. The Sea of Hats Church. And then the third one, if I can get it to go, is the one that I was just speaking about, Louvève. And that's the one that's a brand new church a week prior to the Jesus film showing. And I have pictures to go with the results. Do you remember Travia? There's Travia and the pastor's wife and the pastor. This would have been, again, the end of May when we got the report. This would have been the Sunday after I'm told that she came to church. And this is a picture that they had taken. A Sunday or so later, because it didn't take long, I think these were sequential Sundays, she had brought 7 more people with her to church. This is her and the 7 people that she brought, and they weren't even counting the children. I see 2 children on backs there with the pastor and his wife. And by the time of the report that we got, there's the number of people that she brought to church.
No, I think that's the total church.
The total tenants. So they're actually up to 38 people in just the matter of a couple weeks from the Jesus film showing. So, yes, we need to praise the Lord for the fruit that He's already providing from the labor, and pray that it continues. You know, it's an exponential thing. We want to keep praying for these baby churches and these congregations, you know, that the word that was put out there, that it would keep yielding fruit. I know when I came back, and we oftentimes talk about this from mission trips, how we sit and ponder, you know, what's the Lord want to tell me about this trip? What is it that I need to learn from what I've experienced? And one of the things while I was there and when I came home that came through loud and clear for me as a person was, leave the results to me. you know, in my humanness, I kept wanting to see the results. You know, why aren't we, you know, having the altar call? Oh, my word, this is so chaotic, Lord. I don't see how you're going to do something from this. And God just kept reminding me, leave the results to me. I shouldn't be worrying about it. Leave the results to me. Leave the results to me. So I've dismissed it. I'm leaving the results to him. This is my grandmother, and I don't know how many of you know. We had prepared. We have parents on both of our sides that, you know, they're getting up in years, and they have some physical issues. And my grandmother, who was 101 and a half years old, passed away about 8 hours before we got home. And we did talk to our family before we left that we were on a mission trip. We were doing God's work, and we were far from home. And if something happened, you know, they can make the decision whether to tell us. But the bottom line was we were not coming home. We were completing our mission as long as God would allow us to do that. And so, indeed, when I got to the airport and got off the plane, I found out that my grandmother had passed away. And, of course, you know, as any human being would, I had my time where I had to, you know, come to grips with that, you know, and everybody else had kind of, you know, had a chance to get past that. But one of the things that that happened was we had the funeral. You know, we went through the week, had the funeral. And that Sunday, I would tell you more than any other trip, I had a rough time this time with really feeling somewhat depressed during the time post-trip. And I know I had people that specifically told me that they were still praying for me. And I think God was impressing them that I needed that this time. And it wasn't all because of my grandmother. I mean, some of it was just because of digesting, you know, some of the things that the Lord, was teaching me. And, on the Sunday after her funeral on Saturday is actually when we got the email giving us the news of the fruits of our labor and God's word going forth. And I just sat there and cried and cried and wrote a letter back to them sharing a little bit about what had happened since I came home. And my grandmother is one, I remember when we were having a 90th birthday for her, or a 100th birthday party for her, she had shared that, earlier in her life, she was somewhat called, I don't know how strong the call was, but she was called, to do mission work. And it was something that she lamented because she had never really had the opportunity to do that. And I really felt like, you know, I and others of the family are kind of living out this call on her behalf in a way. And so, you know, God is good. God knows what we need just when we need it. And it certainly lifted my spirits. And I know that, you know, God has the results in hand, and it's up to him.
That's kind of the end of the ministry part of our trip. But I do want to, when you're in Africa, you need to get a flavor of where you're at as well. And so we're just going to take a couple minutes now to go through a couple pictures. I don't know if anybody can see clear enough what these are. But when we went into the grocery store, I said, Crystal, you got to come over here and look at the meat counter. And there were, packets of, can anybody see what they are? They're frozen chicken heads. They were right alongside the frozen chicken feet. And just down a little bit from the frozen cow feet. And the cow feet were alongside the sliced up pig skulls. So, and that way there was goat guts and, I don't know, they called it offal, but it's goat stomach or goat gut of some sort. And, but yeah. So that was kind of interesting. On our way down to the Nswazi, you can just flip through these real quick, Crystal. There was a very unique rock formation. It's kind of like a dome. I never saw anything like it. But it was just so unique that I snapped a bunch of pictures to go through that. These were some dancers that were outside. We did go to Victoria Falls, as I mentioned. Victoria Falls is one of the seven wonders of the world, and it just, again, just the awesomeness of God's creation, the amount of water, the amount of power, the beauty that's in this world because of God's creation. Of course, with all the mist, you know, we had lots of rainbows to see. They actually bungee jump off that bridge. That bridge goes over into
Zambia.
When we came back up through, actually it was a different time frame, and we went and looked at a different spot that we had skipped over. and just the water and then the rainbows that were through that roared there. I mean, it was just the noise, the amount of water was just awesome. It's hard to take bad pictures. We managed, but it was hard. That is a huge, huge tree. Flip to the next. You have the girth is 18 meters, which would be about 28 feet girth. It was a huge, whatever tree. Mode of transportation. We just thought that was unique. Little story. Our mission trip was over on a Monday, and instead of coming straight home, we decided we were going to stay to the weekend. So we did get off leave the airport on our way back in South Africa. And this is, our PH Lertway. And, Chris was going to, flip through a couple pictures of just some of the scenery. But Lertway, didn't understand why we were only there for 3 or 4 days. And we explained that we were actually on a mission trip, and this was just kind of like a little bit at the end, before we came home. And he began asking some questions, and we actually got an opportunity to really share with Lertway. And he said, God tried to get my attention about a year ago with a lion. A lion actually charged and was killed him. It ended up, knocking him heels. But he survived, and he had godly parents that were praying for him, but he became a Christian. And we just had such a good time sharing. Again, it was just a blessing that no matter where you go, you run into brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was just so cool to be able to share and to talk and to have a good time with. It was one of those things I could tell there was something different about Lertway from the other people that were there. And sure enough, it ended up he was a Christian. He spotted that owl about 20 yards back in the, I can't believe he saw that. Their eyes are so sharp. Those, their orange hornbills, the sound that they make, I miss that sound, the calls. It looks like a spiky, but that's actually, I forget what it's called, a Stenbuck, but that was actually a big one. Little spikes, and they're all excited about something that big, but I guess when that's all the bigger they get. Some real beautiful birds. My saying for Zimbabwe was nothing is easy, but everything's difficult. For South Africa, it's everything wants to put a hole in you. Horns, thorns, teeth, or fangs. There you go, Snook. That was for you.
Wild ones.
There's a kudu. It's amazing how many giraffes we saw. I was really surprised. We went to a national park, a game park, and ran into an elephant. He wasn't happy with us. He kind of, put it to you like this. The driver had to get it in reverse really, really fast. Just the amount of animals. It's phenomenal how many animals are there. The water buck, lots of wildebeest. He was rolling in the mud. We did see two rhinos, I guess. That's a white rhino. There again, I don't know if you can see the horns on that, but they said that's a monster. That actually had quills instead of hair. Here again, we got into some elephants, and there was, I don't know if we got a picture of floppy ear in there or not, but there was one that he was ill-tempered. Just a young one, but he was ill-tempered. That one's nursing right in the middle of the road. We had to find reverse there, too, a couple times.
Yes, they did have a poinsettia.
We had one experience while we were out in the brush that we didn't tell Mom about until after we were home. We were going through the brush, and the PH was first. I was second. Crystal was third. And, I mean, she was, if the PH was here, I was here, and there was Crystal. And she said, Scott, I see a snake. And I turned back, and I said, looked at her, and I went to tell the PH that she saw a snake. And about that time, I saw a snake going past the PH through the brush. I couldn't believe how fast it was. He took off after. He was going to try and kill it. Turns out it was a black mamba. It was about 8 to 10 feet long, deadly, deadly poisonous. So it was kind of, after it was all over and done with, it was thrilling. But Crystal said, had she known it was a black mamba, it would have been a different story. We'd have probably had to track Crystal going the other direction.
And no, we did not get this picture. This is not a real picture, just so you know.
This is a Pastor Krell stealed off the internet. There was no time. I mean, that thing was so fast. And they go with their head up. I mean, if it would have wanted to kill any of us, it could have. It was kind of unique. Advertisement. Next year, next trip. I gave you a little lesson on geography, where Zimbabwe was. Well, people say, where's Suriname? Because Suriname is next. What we're planning on doing in January is flying into Georgetown, coming down along the ocean, and stopping here at Coroverton. At Coroverton, we go upriver about 40, 50 miles, and there's a little village over on this side, on the Guyana side, called Orella. I suspect we'll stop at Orella. That's where we were at last June. But last June, when we were there, they took us about another 20 miles upriver into Suriname. So basically another half hour, 45-minute boat ride. And there's a Nazarene church that has no building, and they would love to have a church building. So our plans for our 2017 Work and Witness trip is to have a team go to Suriname and build a church. So if you're interested, if you know anybody that would be interested, at this time, we're kind of in the team building mode. The other thing to think about is if you can't go, but there may be somebody who would love to go, sometimes there's people that finances are a big restriction. If you would like to help sponsor somebody, it would be another option. You could talk to Snook or I about that. We try to keep it very anonymous, but that would be another thing. But bottom line is, we're going to be going. I think the dates are January 27th to February 4th that I'm working on. If you're interested, I love taking new people. All right. Well, thanks a lot. We do have a fellowship meal afterwards down in the fellowship hall, so you're all invited down there. We'll be down there. We have some more pictures down there on our computers. We can answer questions or so on. I don't want to take the time right now to do that. But we'll close with a word of prayer and bless the food, and we can chat more down there. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to present the gospel in Zimbabwe. We'd ask now, as Crystal mentioned, that we would continue to pray that the fruits would multiply and grow. Lord, as people have come to seek you and to find you as our Lord and Savior, that they will continue sharing the gospel with those that they come in contact. And Lord, that the church in Zimbabwe would just continue to grow and grow and grow. Lord, the results are yours. We commit them to you. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to speak with those where the seeds have been planted. They may lay dormant for days, for weeks, for months, or maybe even years, but someday we would just pray that those seeds would blossom into another child of God. We thank you for the fellowship that we have here in this church, for the blessings that we've been able to share because of the faithfulness of your people. And now, Lord, as we gather together, we would ask that you would bless our fellowship and the food, before we'll give you all the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.